You're listening to Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with an emphasis on homeopathy.
Hi, I'm Jody the Mom.
And I'm Dr. Barr the Doc, and this is Mom and Doc Talk, where we talk all things healing pans and pandas with a special emphasis on homeopathy. And today we're going to hear mostly from Jody because we are talking about pans and school. So I'm hoping that Jody can reach way back into her recollection because her kiddos are doing really well and not needing as many accommodations anymore. But I'm hoping she can reach back into her recollection and share with us some of the things that she had to do to help her daughter navigate school while she was still healing from PANS.
Yeah. What you got for us, Jody? I feel like we had a lot of things that kind of revolved around school. I think one of the earliest ones that I started to notice was Avery having problems with friends. And then she started to do school refusal, which was wild for her because she had always loved school so much. She loved interacting with people. And so it was really confusing, and her refusal kind of had to do with OCD. It kind of had to do with separation anxiety. So there was like a bunch of different flavors of how things were going for her. As things progressed and Avery continued to get worse, we started to see more, I don't even know what the word I'm looking for. So it started with her handwriting started to get worse. And then she was struggling with math, and then her reading got worse. And then I think all of this stuff combined just was such a hit to her self-esteem. Mm-hmm. And so much of her self-esteem problems were wrapped into, and it was like everything was just in this ball of like craziness in our lives. And so anything to do with school was super, super difficult. It was very stressful for me. It was very stressful for her. School was a nightmare for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of parents who are dealing with PANS have the hard decision to make to pull their kiddo out of school, because one of the early signs of PANS is the separation anxiety that can lead to school refusal. And then also a lot of behavioral things that come from that cognitive regression that Jody just mentioned. And so a lot of parents really have to struggle with the decision of, should we continue to try and force this? Do we need to go to online school? Do we need to pull completely out of the system and do just homeschool, or do we unschool, or do we do like a partial homeschool program? I don't even know all the options because my child is still really young. So I don't even know all the things. I just know what I hear from the people that we work with. You had this early enough that you didn't really have to consider pulling out of school.
Not in the beginning. I remember, and we'll probably talk about that in a minute, I remember considering it once we got into homeopathy, but in the beginning, no. I mean, she was just starting her kindergarten year. And this was back before the pandemic. So that's just what people did. Like, your kids just go to school and that's what they do. So I hadn't even thought about homeschooling or anything like that at that point. I was like, well, this is what we do. We go to school. But at the same time, it was killing us to get her to school in the morning. It was so incredibly difficult.
Yeah. So homeopathy can obviously come in and help with a lot of the symptoms that go about, getting people to school, getting like dealing with that separation anxiety, helping with the cognitive regression, and all of the symptoms that can come about because the brain's just not working, or there's embarrassment or whatever, because these poor kids, they're largely aware of what's going on, even if they're not aware in the moment. Like, if they're having a rage episode and they snap out of it and they don't remember the episode, they're aware that they had it because of the fallout from it, right? They yeah. Come in and come out in some of these situations. So you did end up keeping your kiddo in school. So before I would love to hear if you recall any of like the accommodations and things like that that you needed to ask for, just so people who might be in that early stage and like you know, if they can get some sparks, some ideas about accommodations. But I'd also love to hear from people who are trying to navigate a kid who is thankfully going to school, that is also doing homeopathy. And so you're missing all those school hour observations for your provider. So do you have any insight that you can offer to people for how to navigate having a child who you need to see how they're doing and like what their symptoms are like and what's triggering them and what's, you know, how they're doing overall when you can't watch them for 5 to 7 hours a day?
Yeah. And even going backwards, a second ago you said rage and I was like, oh gosh, yes. Like her tics, her like all of her symptoms she was experiencing at home, like experiencing them at school was different. So I'm sure that had something to do with it. And I'm going to pause and say this really quickly. In the beginning communication with her teachers, they were like, huh? Like, what are you talking about? Avery's great. Like, she's fine. Nothing, like none of that stuff is happening at school. Like, Avery, it's not possible for her to have rage. She's like the sweetest kid ever. But then as soon as it would be time to pick her up from school, it would like, she would just let go. And I'm kind of going off into left field, but I think this is,
it's related.
I'm pausing to say this because I know we have folks listening that aren't super familiar with PANS. And so Avery was able to hold it together at school in front of certain people at doctor's appointments. And whenever she got to where she wasn't, cause she was embarrassed, right? Especially her tics. She was embarrassed that they were happening. And so she would try to cover them or mask them, however she would do that. And by the time she got home from school, she was exhausted, likely exhausted. And she was in her comfortable, safe space where she could be anything that she is and feel all of the things that she feels in front of me. She's not going to try and hold it in. She just lets go. So everything gets worse. So that is one thing that it can look different at different places and in front of different people.
And that's so hard because then it lends to all of the criticism that, oh, this is just a parenting thing. You're not being strict enough or you're not doing whatever enough, because if they only have it in at home, but they don't have any other situations, then it's clearly a situational or circumstantial thing, not about like their health or their overall, how they function until it becomes how they function, because it does reach a breaking point that they, it's so funny to me. I mean, I'll let you get back to everything you want to say, but it's so funny to me that we wouldn't say that, like, you clearly don't have gas because I never see, you don't fart at all in like, you know, work,
that's a great example.
You know, like what would we ever say? You don't have gas because you never fart at work. Like, but then you like hold it in and like, you then you're just like, you know, letting it all loose as soon as you get into your car or get home or wherever, you know,
that's like the perfect example,
right? So, and the reality is, like I just said, these kids are set, they are aware of what's going on and they try to control it as much as they can because they see the negative consequences of it until they can't anymore. And some kids, they get there where they can't control it faster. Some kids it's the reverse. Some kids it's only at school that they have problems, but they're fine at home. It's usually the other way. It's usually outside the house, they're fine, and at home.
Yeah. And I think that we did the school thing okay until we couldn't anymore. Yeah. And I think that we got to this point where getting her into school was so incredibly difficult. The math and reading were becoming such a problem that it was more than what she could manage on her own without help. And then also too, one of the last things was I got one of those handy dandy letters from the district that was like, your kid has had this many absences. And if you have, you know, any more, where they notify somebody, I don't remember who it was. I think it's just one of those letters to scare you. One of those things they have to do, but it was like, we're a little over halfway through the school year. We got a lot of sickness to go, right? The period, she was sick all the time. Like, she's going to miss more school. And so I was like, I got to go, like, we have to do a meeting. And I had already sort of talked to her teacher and her school counselor. And so they were aware of the things, but we ended up having a 504 meeting. And Going in with all like already with my information about pans and pandas and my list of things that I thought would be helpful for Avery. I got really fortunate. I was met with administrators, teachers that knew a little bit about pans, but also they were willing to work with me, even though they didn't quite understand what was going on. So like the counselor was willing to, we wrote up a plan of action to get her in the building. Mm-hmm. And it was actually something that she ended up really liking. We made a safe space for her at school. Whenever she was having rage issues, if she ever felt scared or if you felt, you know, over top angry, she was able to go to this space. And then accommodations as far as her math and writing and reading, because she was doing all of those things so slowly and some stuff around tests. And then of course that, her having the ability to have more absences for illnesses. And then I think one of the ones was letting me know if strep was going around the class, because that was such a big deal. And so, the districts have to do accommodations, but man, there's so many PANS. I got super, super lucky. There are so many families that are not that lucky and schools don't. And I've seen the education spread through advocacy and more families experiencing this. But some families, this is just on top of PANS. It's a really, really awful fight. And then also you're trying to help your child go through this on a daily basis. So it's just so much more difficult when you have those external things. I understand why. And it's why eventually I was like, okay, our lives would be so much easier if we didn't have to deal with school. If we could figure out another way to do school, and it's tough. It's really tough with some school districts.
Yeah. So, just a couple of resources for you guys, to take a look at that, might be useful. So Jody and I did a video a while ago that is available on our YouTube channel. I'll put a link to it in the show notes that is geared toward educators and people who are supports for families going through PANS to help give you, it's about 25 minutes long. So it's not the shortest thing, but it's to give people a lot of background information about what PANS and PANDAS is so that you can go in with some information beyond just like a piece of paper. And that also then talks about how it affects families and types of accommodations that are, have been found to be really useful, as well as ways to communicate clearly with families. And so that could be something that would be useful for you to check out for your own reference, because there's probably things in there. It's a while ago that we recorded it, and I honestly don't remember all of the details, but I think that there's probably things that we touched on there because you were closer to having to deal with the education component when we recorded that. But it's also, again, geared toward people who are not familiar with PANS and PANDAS, and giving them like a taste of what it's, but it's like, we've gotten really great feedback that it's been very helpful in a lot of meetings, because you do have the chance, not as strong as it used to be, but still better than average chance that you're going to be talking to people who don't know anything about PANS or PANDAS, or that might've even already heard about it, but have their own skepticism or, fixed beliefs about it that are not going to be in your favor. Mm-hmm. There's another video that is only available to members of our Facebook group, Homeopathy for PANS and PANDAS, that was done by a PANS mom who also happens to work in the schools, where she gave some really useful information about like how to navigate getting some supports and some accommodations and everything, so that you can check that out if you are a member of the Facebook group. The only other thing I think I really want to make sure we touch on today, Jody, is the shifts that we see with homeopathy, in particular the cognitive regressions and the fact that like a lot of these kids, they fall behind and parents are so worried because they either, you know, have to change the way that they school or just completely accept, because like some kids won't even do homeschool, you know, like they just can't do it. And so their parents are get really concerned about how are we ever going to get back into this or how are we ever going to catch up. And I have yet to see somebody who doesn't get back into school, and doesn't catch up eventually. the patterns that we tend to see is that a lot of the behavioral stuff gets better first. The cognitive stuff does take a while, not going to lie. Like, it's frustrating. Like, people will say, well, the rages are gone, the anxiety is gone, the OCD is improving, the tics are improving, but this cognitive stuff and the school stuff is, and school refusal is just not budging. And then suddenly they reach that level of their healing that then the cognitive regression makes up substantially in a very short period of time. That's definitely what happened with you, Jody. That was, I think there was like several grades catch up in like a 6 month period of time.
I think that there's so much fear with us parents, understandably, because the whole like perfect attendance, like being at school all the time, keeping up, like all of the, it's all beat into our heads the whole time. And it's just how everyone does it. But then PANS comes along and you just can't, like you just can't. And I say this now because I know for sure is, you know, the set of rules that the rest of the world lives by is not the set of rules that a family with a PANS child can live by. It's just not the same. Yeah. And I remember Avery getting further behind and further behind. And I was freaking out the most about math, because I knew everything else would be fine, but it was the math because it builds on each other. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she's missing all this. And she's going to like, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And so I remember spending so much time stressing out about it. And I remember trying to force her, like, no, you have to do this, and pushing it. And I did. I wish I would not have pushed so hard, but I did. And I feel like the cognitive stuff with Avery lasted a long time. It lasted almost till the end. Mostly the confidence stuff was what we were working on at the end, but some of that cognitive stuff was tough. But man, when it came back, it like full on came back, and math was one of the last ones. And I know you tell this story all the time. I should actually let you tell it. You tell the story.
No, you tell it. It's your story.
So she struggled so much, like getting poor grades, not turning stuff in, just schoolwork was a nightmare. And like within a matter of, I don't even remember how long it was. It was like a 4 month period, where she had improved, and that's when everything started to stretch out and get longer and longer. And then like all of a sudden her like math skills just went and took off. And it was like all that stuff that she had missed, it was like in a 4 month period, she was completely caught up, and not only caught up, but it seems like she was performing above grade level. And that was, you know, her writing was fine and her reading was well above grade level once it all got good. And then math started to go above grade level. And then like 2 months after that, I got a letter sent home saying that they wanted to test her for gifted and talented.
Yep.
I was like, whoa, like whoever sent that letter has no idea what we like, what's been going on in her world. That's how quickly she caught up with everything. And it was like, none of it had ever, like none of the struggle, there was no evidence of the struggle that she had.
Yeah. And you'll see it posted throughout the Facebook group, like regularly, where people are sharing the victories coming from school between just kids who couldn't sit still, couldn't, you know, keep their hands to themselves, had lots of stuff where they were getting in trouble, having all these accommodations that even with removing accommodations and getting off of IEPs, getting off of 504 plans, that they are, that they're thriving and getting these messages from teachers that they're doing well, people posting like report cards of how great people are doing. Somebody just recently posting, you know, somebody who like a kiddo who was years behind in school, much like Avery, now being tested for gifted and talented program. So it's something that kids can overcome. You know, I personally, when I had a big flare of what I now recognize was likely PANS, had a really bad regression and went from reading comprehension. I was like, the smart kid in the class, that everything was easy, to suddenly my teacher was giving me like issue, like bring up issues with my reading comprehension specifically, and like moving me down in like reading groups and like getting, it was really, really hard on my attention. And now I recovered and I'm a fully functioning adult with a mostly functioning brain and, you know, a big reader. And I think I understand all the things I'm reading, but I'm not being tested on them. So, you know, we don't know for sure. But it absolutely can happen. And so one other thing that people will see sometimes with the healing trajectory as it relates to school, and this is also related to how it relates to like personal life too, and we'll talk about like personal and interactions and relationships in a future episode. But one of the things that we see is that their social and emotional healing also has to catch up. It's almost like when they have that regression of their cognitive skills, they tend to have behavioral regressions that go with it. And so a kid who was reading and doing math and everything cognitively at like a fifth grade level, if they drop to like a second grade level, behaviorally, they tend to drop as well. And they have to do some catching up. So it's like, just like you have to catch up and learn all of the things sequentially in math to be able to understand the, like the later concepts, there's behavioral stages that people have to like go through and catch up with as well. And so we can see kids that are doing a lot better and like having fewer and fewer and fewer PAN symptoms, fewer and fewer flares, and, you know, catching up, but they still are having some behavioral things that just aren't quite there yet. And the reality is they have to like go through some of those social and challenging situations that you learn in school that they might not have been as connected to either because they weren't present in school and didn't have the social pressures and the social relationships to challenge them in those ways. Or if they were in school that they just were so in their own space with dealing with the stuff that was going on internally that they weren't connecting with that. And so you might see some hiccups in trying to like make up for some of the social and emotional regressions that occur that they can get caught up in as well. But they do get caught up in both of those.
I think touching on this too, for those folks that are listening that are doing homeopathy, these are two things that I like in my mind, I really spent a whole lot of time thinking about is wanting to pull Avery. Once we got into homeopathy, I was considering pulling her out of school because of infections, because she would go to school, catch an infection, we'd have a flare, we'd finally get it under control, and then boom, school, infection, flare. We did that over and over again. And I remember telling you, I'm like, if we can just stop the infections, then things will be better and they'll move along smoother and we'll be fine. And you were like, no, like we don't want to remove her from the things that are going to happen, because each time she gets an infection, we're seeing symptoms pop up. And that's part, like she's got to heal in this world, right? We can't put her in a bubble and expect to, you know, fully heal her. And yeah, for Avery, I left her in school because the social part of it is very, for her, very important. And so I'm glad I didn't pull her out for that reason. Then I also considered this. I don't think I was going to pull her out, but I thought about it a lot. I'm like, how in the world am I going to be able to observe with her at school for so much time? It worked. It worked perfectly fine. I feel like it worked better because when Avery was at school, I got a second to breathe.
Yeah.
And that second to breathe helped me be more okay when I was with her. Had I had her home with me all of the time, there would have been no break from the constant management. And those breaks from the management gave me the ability to do the less emotional observing, trying to, you know, figure out when to dose and not dose. I wasn't like way overly stressed out. I was better because I was getting breaks while she was at school. And evenings and weekends were plenty of time to observe. So I would, knowing what I know now, I would never factor that into whether or not I keep my kid in school.
Yeah. I think that there are ways that you can get some good communication as part of your 504 or IEP so that you can have specific ways that and things that your teacher is taking a look out for as well for the symptoms that really are school related symptoms that you might need some information about, you know, when you should be notified and like following up on a couple of things. All right. Anything else? Oh, I guess I should touch on what you said about the fact that, you know, I I don't recommend pulling kids out of school just to limit exposure, because the reality is, as you said, Jody, that you have to heal within life. Like, you can't live in a bubble. And the reality is, like, when you go back, because the bug is not the problem, right? The susceptibility is the problem. It's not the bug. It's the susceptibility to this atypical reaction to the bug. And the thing is, like, you're going to eventually go back into school, and you're going to eventually go back into life, and you're going to have exposure to these things. And so if you are, you're just delaying it, you're kicking the can down the road if you're avoiding it, because you can't heal from, you can't heal a susceptibility if you don't know what the susceptibility is. Like, you have to see it so you can see what the symptoms are that are coming to the forefront as a result of this particular trigger, so that you can get the right homeopathic remedy to stimulate healing and to address that susceptibility. And so avoiding exposures to things that are triggers might give you relief now, but it's not like you can't really fully heal without having exposure to the trigger itself as well. Hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Any last thoughts about school?
It's just hard. Give yourself grace.
Yeah.
Like, whatever it looks like is a good job and the best. Yeah, like, that's literally all we can do is the best we can do for our kids. And it's sloppy and it's messy. And every single family that's going through PANS, it looks sloppy and messy for them too. And just do what you can and, you know, do your best to get some support at school. And just know that homeopathy can help.
And I want to acknowledge that this has been heavily focused on children who go away to school for the day, and not so much on homeschool, because that's just the experience that we have. We will happily invite somebody who has a lot of homeschool experience in navigating PANS and homeschool as well to address that at some point if there is interest. So if there's interest, for sure, let us know. And the best way to get in touch with us is through our Instagram. You can send us a DM, and the links to it are in the show notes. I'm at Dr. Jennifer Barr, and that's B-A-H-R, or at Resilience Naturopathic. And then you can also join our Facebook group and let us know as well. So that's Homeopathy for PANS and PANDAS, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes, as I think I've already mentioned. So the reality is, like I said, we're talking about supports in a school setting, or like any type of thing where there are other people involved. If you are a homeschool hero, that's fantastic. There are still going to be challenges with it. That's just not what we really addressed today. We're also not advocating that there is one right way to do this. Everybody, it's about finding the rhythms that work best for you and your family. And those rhythms can change too. Like, you could be somebody who starts off at homeschool, but then for many reasons, or one big reason, that decides that homeschool is not the right thing anymore, and you want to go into school, whether it's a private school or a public school, or even a homeschool co-op. There's lots of different ways, or if you're an unschooler, lots of different options. None of them are, we're not advocating for anything in particular. We're just advocating for you finding the best scenario for your family, whatever that happens to be, and then doing the best that you can to help them thrive. All right. We'll be with you in a future episode to talk more, hopefully, about the homeschool component. As I said, we've got a lot of resources to help you learn more about it. We do, in fact, in the Facebook group, have somebody who talked to their experience about homeschooling as well. So those are a couple of things. There's a couple of videos that you can only get access to if you're a member of our Facebook group. Otherwise, we've got those resources on the YouTube channel. And we'll be back with you in our next episode to talk more about holidays and overstimulation, because that's another thing that really can impact these kiddos. So we'll hope to see you there.
We hope you found this episode helpful, hopeful, and inspiring. We try to get a new episode out every week. You can make sure you don't miss any by following us on Spotify or subscribing to our channel on YouTube. If you want to connect with us more, join our Facebook group, Homeopathy for PANS and PANDAS, where we have exclusive weekly videos and answer your questions about, you guessed it, homeopathy for PANS and PANDAS throughout the week. If you are already a member, give us a shout out and let us know what you thought about this episode. If you aren't on Facebook and would like to reach us, you can email us at podcast@resiliencenaturopathic.com. Until next time, take care, and remember, this won't be forever.